Omawiam z Miranda Sagi, mam już nasza odbycia książki, tam na to. A couple letters from Shri Prabhupada, for example. Shri Prabhupada letter to Gargamuni Maharaj, April 13, 1974. I want to organize a women kirtan party singing the Gita Gan. Can you help me? I just immediately remember, like, in Vrindavan they have women kirtan party in Shri Prabhupada Samadhi last few years. Before it was 24 hours kirtan. Everyone could join, but the singers, they were only men. And a few years ago, they made a women kirtan party in Sri Prabhupada Samadhi. They sing few hours a day, not 24 hours, but like especially that women can lead, women devotees. Sri Prabhupada letter to Govinda Dasi, April 30, 1974. To you, my advice is, because you are very intelligent and educated girl, you forget your relationship with Gaurasundara. Gaurasundara, was he her husband?
Gaurasundara?
Yeah.
The only thing I know about him, he was in England, and wasn't he one of the constructors of the...
He a husband of, was husband of Govinda Das?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's his name?
Yes, Srila Prabhupada is saying, to you my advice is, because you are very intelligent and educated girl, you forget your relationship with Gaurasundara.
Oh, really?
It's in 1974. Now you become fixed up in Krishna business and live like a chaste Hindu widow woman. There are many ideal young Hindu widows who do not dress nicely at all, do not comb their hair, and who take bath 3 times daily in the Ganges, wear white sari, and are engaged 24 hours a day in chanting Hare Krishna mantra. The vivid example is Vishnupriya Devi, Lord Chaitanya's wife. When Lord Chaitanya left home, accepting the renounced order of life, sannyasa, at that time Vishnupriya was on the summit of youth, 16 years old. But when her husband became sannyasi, she also became greater than sannyasa. She was chanting her rounds on the beads, and after one round, she was collecting 1 grain of rice. Wow, it's after one round. I thought after one grain of rice. In this way, all day and night, as many rounds as she could finish, that many grains she would cook and eat. Just see how much austerity she underwent. Vishnupriya is the incarnation of the goddess of fortune. But to teach us how much austerity and penance she underwent, I think you should follow the footsteps of Srimati Vishnupriya. You have good writing capacity and good artistic ability. Now devote your life to chanting Hare Krishna and, if possible, write articles on Krishna consciousness, as many as possible, with your own paintings, and send it for publication to back to Godhead. Forget this nonsense, Gaurasundara. These are all material relationships and have nothing to do with spiritual advancement. It's kind of hard. These are all material relationships and have nothing to do with spiritual advancement. Engage your life fully for Krishna consciousness. Only chant Hare Krishna mantra day and night. Read books and, expressing the philosophy in your own words, write articles for publishing in Back to Godhead. I just remember that Elle, she recently wrote 2 articles for Dandavats.com. So it's how, like, so nice, like, she's engaged in her capacity for writing. Yeah, I think, like, Pierre Mohan Prabhu said it was very nice. I don't know if you read it. You did it?
I didn't
read it. Maybe Dina, have you read these 2 articles Elle wrote for Dandavats.com?
Yeah.
No, they were nice. So Pierre Mohan Prabhu, he appreciated them. They're really nice. Now they're like, they undergo some, they're changing the website. So you probably won't find it now, but after some time. Okay. Only chant Hare Krishna mantra day and night. Read books and expressing the philosophy in your own words. Write articles for publishing in Back to Godhead. Don't bother anymore with rascals like Gurasundara or anyone else. Heavy. Take Krishna as your supreme protector, and Krishna will help you in all respects. Practice this prescription, and you will be happy eternally. Hare Bol. So in different cases, Srila Prabhupada gives different instructions to different his dear devotees. Okay, last letter is to Dina Dayadri. Beautiful name, Dina Dayadri. May 26, 1974. You're a very good girl. Oh, we are in Women in Krishna Consciousness. That's why it's all about ladies. You are a very good girl and a sincere devotee. Therefore, even though you have experienced a difficulty, you are remaining pure in Krishna consciousness and keeping faith in Krishna and the spiritual master. This faithfulness has pleased me very much. So many great devotees have had to undergo difficulties, and a great example among women was Queen Kunti, whose family life was perpetual danger. But because she always thought of Krishna, she was saved. And the great example among women was Queen Kunti, whose family life was perpetual danger. But because she always thought of Krishna, she was saved. There is no question of your returning to Nara Narayana. Shri Radha Gopal Bhakti Jai. There is no question of your returning to Nara Narayana. He has remarried. And I also informed him when I was in Los Angeles last time that he should keep his own wife living peacefully in Los Angeles. You have got one child, so now make Krishna your husband and take shelter of our temple. The Detroit temple where you are now is very suitable for, it's very suitable, I think. And you say you are much inspired by devotees like Govardhana and the others. So take spiritual instructions from your elder god brothers and sisters. Forget the past and make all progress in Krishna consciousness without any material lamentation or hankering. Okay, so these were instructions to Srila Prabhupada to women who were, I think they were abandoned by their husbands. Because in this way, like, because it could happen from both sides, but in this way, husband left the wife, and Srila Prabhupada is advising them not to remarry, forget about. So it's, I mean, the different devotees, Srila Prabhupada. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada Shikshamrita ki jai. We will read one verse, it's not very long. It's very wonderful. Today is, I think today is verse 14, because yesterday was 13. You remember? Trivikrama Prabhu gave class on 13.
Yeah, yesterday was 13.
Yeah, so today is 14. Yeah. So we don't have it written on because we have next one. But would you like to chant this or just I chant and you chant with me? Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Let's do the one on the board.
Yeah, let's do that. So we will read first the verse on the board and then we will continue to verse 14. Siddhi lavaya no yarhi.
Siddhi
lavaya no yarhi.
Siddhi lavaya no yarhi.
Ganharvar Rita Purushaha Yavanar Aridhi Rajan Uparutor Rodaham
Siddhilava Yavoyarhi
Ganharver Rita Porushaha Yavanar Aribhi Rajan Uparutor Rodaham Somebody would like to chant. If you don't mind, I will read the previous verse because I was preparing for this. Thank you. Nashe ke sovitun tatra puro krishro rve patum gantum aichat tato vriksha kotarat iva sanalat. Word for word translation. Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Sheke.
Sheke.
Was able.
Was able.
Saha.
Saha.
He.
He.
Avitum.
Avitum.
To protect.
To protect.
Tatra.
Tatra.
There.
There.
Puru.
Puru.
Very much.
Very much.
Krishra.
Krishra.
Difficulty.
Difficulty.
Uru.
Uru.
Great.
Great.
Vipathu. Vipathu. Sorry.
Vipathu.
Suffering.
Suffering.
Gantum.
Gantum.
To go out.
To go out.
Aichat.
Aichat.
Desired.
Desired.
Tata.
Tata.
From there.
From there.
Vriksha.
Vriksha.
Of a tree.
Of a tree.
Kotarat.
Kotarat.
From the hollow.
From the hollow.
Iva.
Iva.
Like.
Like.
Sa analat.
Sa analat.
On fire.
On fire.
What is hollow?
Hollow? Like in a tree
Mm-hmm. Translation. As a serpent living within the cavity of a tree wishes to live when there is a forest fire, so the city's police superintendent, the snake, wished to leave the city due to the fire's severe heat. Purport. It becomes very difficult for snakes to leave a forest when there is a fire. Other animals may flee due to their long legs, but serpents, only being able to crawl, are generally burned in the fire. At the last stage, the limbs of the body are not as much affected as the live air. Translation again. As a serpent living within the cavity of a tree wishes to live when there is a forest fire, so the city's police superintendent, the snake, wished to leave the city due to the fire's severe heat. And short purport again. It becomes very difficult for snakes to leave a forest when there is a fire. Other animals may flee due to their long legs, but serpents, only being able to crawl, are generally burned in the fire. At the last stage, the limbs of the body are not as much affected as the live air. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam Namaskritya Narayanam Narottamam Devam Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Svayam Udire.
We read in the previous verses that at the final stage, just before death, the body of living entity is affected by fever, very high fever, and so he cannot stay in the body anymore. So he described that fire. That actually, what I was preparing, I see now that it's not on that verse, but I will say something what came to my mind. Because I was thinking about different animals and the comparison, like this life air is compared to a snake, where it's of course just allegory, like, you know, still are all different animals in different traditions. When people want to compare something or somebody, like to show that he or she has some particular quality, sometimes they compare them to an animal. And snake in all traditions usually considered very envious, as we know. And Srila Prabhupada is saying about that. He's saying that there are two types of envious living beings. One is snake, and one is an envious human being. Yeah? Mm. And also I heard that in the East, they consider snake to be wise, but I don't know how about Vedic tradition. Do they consider that? Srila Prabhupada is saying about enviousness.
Yeah.
And regarding to snake.
For our purposes, they're generally considered to be.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the thing with Prabhupada and Mayapur, and his spiritual master saw the snake in the yard and told him to kill the snake. And Prabhupada was wondering about that, and then later he saw the verse in the Bhagavatam that even a saintly person is happy when a scorpion or a snake is killed.
Yeah.
So it's usually when we talk about snakes, it's in a pretty negative way.
Yeah.
Except, you know, spiritual snakes, Lord, they're not the snakes.
Yeah. So I was thinking that it's very interesting that life air is compared to a snake, like taking into account the nature of a snake. And I was thinking about why my example, what I was thinking of, is not correct, because I was thinking that snake is living his master, but actually snake is a subtle body, yeah? Like life air.
Yeah.
Is it subtle body? So like
compared to that, yeah.
Compare it's subtle body. So actually subtle body carries the soul away from the body, yeah? So he doesn't live. He takes him with him. But he is living the city. I just was thinking about a dog, because dog is considered very faithful, yeah? And will not leave his master in any circumstances, will die. There are many stories how dog was waiting for his master for years. He went to war and didn't come, and he would come every day and waiting for him. So they are very faithful. So I was just thinking if life air would be compared to a dog, that could be a different story, but it's compared to a snake.
Yeah.
Who, when in danger, just leave. It's, of course, it's natural for everyone. Of course, dog also will live, probably, in a fire. Yeah. In fire, everyone will live. So just somehow it came to my mind about different animals, like dogs and snakes.
Yeah.
I read translation of purport again, that I will be able to say something else. As a serpent living within the cavity of a tree wishes to live when there is a forest fire. And we know, actually, that snakes, they are lazy. They don't like to do many movements yet. Especially python, you say? Python, yeah. Who is just laying down, and when something comes to his mouth, he opens the mouth and devours, and that's it.
In the eighth canto, there's the story of the python man. You know that story? He was very advanced, he was self-realized, but he was lying down in the forest on the path, and he just lay there. And when something came, I don't know what he ate, but somehow, I guess when somebody brought him something
people.
To eat, then he would eat. And it said that actually he was very fat. So I guess he was getting plenty, people were bringing him plenty to eat. Plus he wasn't getting any exercise. He was just lying.
Was he called Avadhuta Brahmana? Is it Avadhuta Brahmana story?
I don't remember. I know he was advanced. And
I think it... No. No? Okay. So there's something really important has to happen that snake will move. Well, yes, here something important is happening. It's fire. Body is on fire. So as a serpent living within the cavity of a tree wishes to live when there is a forest fire, so the city's police superintendent, the snake, wished to leave the city due to the fire's severe heat. It becomes very difficult for snakes to leave a forest when there is a fire. Other animals may flee due to their long legs. But serpents, only being able to crawl, are generally burned in the fire. At the last stage, the limbs of the body are not as much affected as the live air. This is also interesting. At the last stage, the limbs of the body are not as much affected as the live air. I mean, we can see that after the death, body is still here, usually. Yeah, like, unless it was an accident or whatever. But soul left the body because of the fever. Serpent, life air, couldn't tolerate it and left, taken soul with him. But body is here still, all the limbs are here. Just interesting, yeah? Okay, somebody wants to say something on this verse? You have some comments, questions?
There's another way that snakes and the fire are used, I think, from the nectar of devotion, maybe. Somebody remembers, but when you perform devotional service, it burns up. I think your sinful reactions are compared to snakes.
Wow!
And they can't. Does anybody remember that? I think it's like that. The sinful reactions are compared to snakes, and they are the first to die when there's a forest fire. So they can't get out. So when you chant Hare Krishna, the snakes of your sinful desire are burnt up. I'm pretty sure it's the nectar of devotion. I read that. It's been a long time. So.
Just it's very interesting, yes, comparing that subtle body to a snake who is an envious creature. Yeah, also the story of Kali. Snake, yeah. Because all the demons in Krishna Lila, they also show how some anarcha is uprooted, yeah. So, Kalia, serpent, shows us an envious person and what happens.
The example of the two envious living entities, the snake and the envious human being, Prabhupada says that the snake can be controlled. Sometimes by a snake charmer who chants mantras, but an envious human being, nobody can control them. That's the comparison. An envious human being can be even more uncontrollable than an envious snake.
And as we talked yesterday, what to do with the envy? Because Srila Prabhupada said that we can engage everything in Krishna service, lust, anger, greed, but not envy.
We've heard that, but then I read a letter that somebody gave me a letter a couple of days ago on the Tripcon about Prabhupada wrote one letter to a devotee, and the devotee was asking Prabhupada, I'm having trouble getting along with God brothers, we're fighting, and is that because we're impersonalists? And Prabhupada's reply was, no, it's not because you're impersonal, it's because you're persons. And persons, there's always some disagreement. And he gave the example, he said, even in the spiritual world, different devotees have, he even used the word envy of each other, but then like one gopi will see another gopi off makes a beautiful flower garland, and the gopi thinks, oh, look at the garland she offered. I have to make a nicer garland than that. So Prabhupada even used the word envy in that sense, but he qualified. He said, but it's a spiritual envy. There's no ill wishes towards the person. Material world envy means you want to see the other person do bad, or you want to harm him, or you want to kill him. But in the spiritual world, you may think, oh, look at spiritual envy, but you don't have any ill feelings toward them. You want to do better, serve Krishna better, but you don't wish them any harm. You're not disagreeing because you're impersonalist. You're fighting because you're persons, and individuals always have different desires, motives, likes and dislikes. But he said, So that kind of envy, I mean, you have to control, especially in the society of devotees. You live together in the temple, it's very close quarters, and so there's friction between devotees, so the devotees have to be very self-controlled and not let their ill feelings towards other devotees, which could be there, can't let them like blossom, or can't indulge them. Like in the material world, you're out there, you can indulge your envy, but I don't like that guy, and this is why, and this is why, and that's why, and that why he did this, and he said that, and anyway, he didn't say anything or do anything, I just don't like the way he looks. And but in the temple, you can't be like that. You have like envious thoughts arise, but there's one example by Satsarupa Maharaj for controlling envy. He said, another one that I always remembered. It's like if a person is raised in a family and the family is like racist or religionist, or whatever it is. You don't like some group because they're a different nationality or different race or different something, but your parents are like that, and that's what you learn from birth. You learn that these people who look like that are bad, and so you grow up thinking like that. But when you become like a teenager or young, you grow up and you start to think for yourself, you start to think, well, why should I not like these people just because they look like them? Why was I taught that? That's not right. And so you decide that, well, I'm not going to be like that anymore. I'm not going to. And my parents are like that. They taught me to be like that, but I'm not going to be like that. And so you start thinking like that. But in the future, because of your conditioning, sometimes those thoughts will arise in your mind. They could be from your training as a kid. But when they arise, you just say, oh no, I already decided I'm not going to be like that anymore. So he gave that as a way to deal with any negative feeling that you have that's not auspicious for devotional service. But he was speaking that time specifically in relationship to envy, that you feel some envy in your heart. And it happens regularly, at least to me, probably to most of us, you feel some enviousness arise. And you think, well, no, I'm not going to think like that. Why should I think like that towards somebody? That's not right. So you throw it away. You discard it. You say, no, I'm not going to be like that. I already decided. I'm not going to be like that.
Yeah, thank you.
And that can be really effective. It doesn't mean that 5 minutes from now you won't have some envious thought again. But any time it arises, you just think of it. Think like that.
Yeah. And as we talked yesterday, you remember that when one who is envious cannot really think about welfare of others. Yeah. Only one who is not envious can really think about others. And we feel it, yeah. But we feel it from others, usually not from ourselves. Yeah, and the way to get finally like one day free from envy is mercy of a not envious person. And also reading Srimad Bhagavatam. It's amazing.
And also practice serving the other devotees and practice serving the non-devotees by distributing the holy name and distributing books. If you practice serving other people, I tell you, one really good training for me that helped a lot was, I was kind of, it's sort of mundane in a way, but I was out on the street at a flower stand for over 20 years and just dealing with one customer after another all day. And so everybody who comes up, you have to be a servant. And you have to like, well, what do you want? How can I do it? And it's, day after day, person after person, year after year, it was really good for me to help control mind, not think, try to be a servant of other people instead of being envious.
Yeah. Okay, and also I wanted to read something on Diwali, on the meaning of Diwali, because today is a very special day. It is said that today happened at Damodara River, when Mother Yashoda, she is binding Tan Krishna to the Grand Immortal. And I will read from Srila Prabhupada what he said in a couple of his books and in some letters also. Diwali ceremony can be observed in the temple by illuminating hundreds of candles in different parts of the temple and offering a special prasad to the deity. This ceremony was observed by the inhabitants of Ayodhya, the kingdom of Lord Ramachandra. While Lord Ramachandra was out of his kingdom due to his 14 years banishment by the order of his father, his younger stepbrother Bharat took charge of the kingdom. And the day on which Lord Ramachandra took back the charge again from his brother and seated on the throne, this is observed as Diwali and Deepavali. Deepavali means the same thing. Deepa means candles, and Bali means numerous. When numerous candles are lighted, it is called Deepavali. In India, this Deepavali function is celebrated in a special auspicious occasion. This Deepavali function can be observed on October 21st, and we have today October 21st, and prasad can be distributed on the next day during daytime, which is known as Govardhana Puja or Annakuta ceremony. In India, in all Vaishnava temples, this ceremony is observed and hundreds of people are given prasadam according to the capacity of the temple. It's from the letter. Then from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, verses 1 to 13. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, "One day when Mother Yashoda saw that all the maidservants were engaged in other household affairs, she personally began to churn the yogurt. While churning, she remembered the childish activities of Krishna, and in her own way she composed songs and enjoyed singing to herself about all those activities." Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura, quoting from the Vaishnava Toshini of Srila Sanatana Goswami, says that the incident of Krishna's breaking the pot of yogurt and being bound by Mother Yashoda took place on the Deepavali day, or Deepa Malika. Even today in India, this festival is generally celebrated very gorgeously in the month of Kartik, by fireworks and lights, especially in Bombay. It is to be understood that among all the cows of Nanda Maharaja, several of Mother Yashoda's cows ate only grasses so flavorful that the grasses would automatically flavor the milk. Mother Yashoda wanted to collect the milk from these cows, make it into yogurt, and churn it into butter personally, since she thought that this child Krishna was going to the houses of neighborhood gopas and gopis to steal butter because he didn't like the milk and yogurt ordinarily prepared. I just finished all from Srila Prabhupada. Then from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya, 1536. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees participated in all the festivals, including Rasa Yatra, Deepavali, and Uttana Dvadashi. The Deepavali festival takes place on the dark moon night in the month of Kartik, October-November. The Rasa Yatra or Rasa Dancing of Krishna takes place on the full moon night of the same month. Uttana Dvadashi takes place the day after Ekadashi in the waxing fortnight of the moon in the same month. All the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu participated in all these festivals. Then from Krishna book. The roads, streets, and lanes of Hastinapura were all, as from 71st chapter, were all sprinkled with fragrant water through the trunks of intoxicated elephants. In different places of the city, there were colorful festoons and flags decorating the houses and streets. At important crossroads, there were gates with golden decorations, and at the sides of the gates, there were golden water jugs. These beautiful decorations glorified the opulence of the city. Participating in this great ceremony, all the citizens gathered here and there, dressed in colorful new clothing and decorated with ornaments, flower garlands, and fragrant scents. The houses were all illuminated by hundreds and thousands of lamps placed in different corners of the cornices. cornices. It's like corners. Walls, columns, bases, and also don't know, architraves. Maybe arches, architraves. 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 Okay, so somewhere were decorated too. And from far away, the rays of the lamps appeared to be celebrating the festival of Deepavali, a particular festival observed on the New Year's Day of the Hindu calendar. So, Happy New Year. This is very nice. It's from Srimad Bhagavatam lecture in Los Angeles in 1974. There are many flies. They take their birth at night, in the evening, and the whole night they are busy the same way, eating, sleeping, begetting children, and being afraid of. All the qualities are there. In India, we have got experience. They are called Diwali germs or insects. In the evening before the light, 1, 2, 3, in this way, by midnight, it increases to thousands and millions. Who have seen this? Not only in India. I've seen in Mayapur at local Radha Kund, like we came there at night, it was like no moon, so all this glowing like flies, they were there. So beautiful, like little lights. You can see nothing actually, but there, you don't see the place.
I've seen fireflies, but not a lot of them in place.
Yeah. They don't really illuminate it, but it looks beautiful. Heaps, millions. Okay, and there is just something from conversation. I just wanted to say something on the Damodara Lila when Mother Yashoda is binding Krishna. It's from the lecture I listened today. It was given by Niranjan Swami in Almaty a few days ago. And he was also quoting from Srila Prabhupada commentaries and from Srila Vaishnava Chakravarti Thakur commentaries. How Krishna, he is known as Bhakta Vatsala. And Bhakta Vatsala, his quality means that he is controlled by his pure devoted love. And actually, he's the supreme controller, we know that. But he's controlled by his devotee's pure love. Because the only thing he wants is love, the only thing he needs. And he wants to be controlled by the devotee's love. And so one day, Mother Yashoda, she was feeding her breast milk to little Krishna. And he was enjoying very much associating with his mother. And at the same time, she also put some milk on a stove. And as we heard just now, Mother Yashoda, she has special cows. In some other places, I heard that they are black cows, because black cows, they have special, very fat, fatty milk. And they ate some special herbs, we heard, some special grass. So milk was already flavored by that. So she put the milk on the stove. And why? We also heard that. Because she was thinking Krishna is stealing butter and milk all around in the village. So maybe he's not satisfied with my milk. So I have to try more. Like. And so she put milk on the stove. And milk, because in the spiritual world, everything is alive. Milk was also a living entity. And milk also wanted to serve Krishna, had pure love for Krishna. And milk was thinking, now Mother Yashoda, she is feeding Krishna with her breast milk, and he's drinking all her milk. And then he will not want to drink me, because he will not be hungry. So milk decided that her life is useless, and she decided to commit suicide. That's what Srinath Chakravarti Thakur is explaining in his commentaries on that verse. So that's why milk started to overflow. And Mother Yashoda, she put Krishna aside, and she ran to the stove to take milk. But also, Srinath Chakravarti Thakur is explaining that you may think that she was thinking, oh, milk will overflow, so I have to clean the stove. No, she didn't think in that way. She was also worried about the milk, because this milk was meant for Krishna, to feed Krishna. So she was worried about milk's welfare, not just that she has to clean, not that she has to clean the stove. So she went there. And then also, it is explained there that milk became ashamed. Became ashamed that Mother Yashoda put Krishna away, that she disturbed service of Mother Yashoda. So milk started to overflow back to the pot. And in this way, Mother Yashoda was able to come back to Krishna. But when she came, Krishna was not there. Because Krishna, he became angry. How come mother was feeding him and now just because of the milk she put him away and went to look the milk. So, and also Krishna, he wanted to play. That was his desire. His desire was that he wanted to play. And it is explained there that it is called Krishna Sankalpa. Krishna Sankalpa is that all Krishna's desires will be fulfilled. All his desires are fulfilled. So he wanted to play. That was his desire. So he ran away and he went to the storage room where Mother Yashoda kept yogurt and all milk products. And somehow, like, I think we don't have here that picture, yeah, because all milk pots and like yogurt pots and butter, they all were hanging, like, fixed to the ceiling on the ropes, yeah. But somehow, maybe like, I don't know how he went there, he took a sticker, so he break the pot with the yogurt or with the butter, yeah. And so he started to feed his dear friends. Monkeys, they were his friends. And also we know that these monkeys, they were monkeys in Lord Ramachandra story, and they wanted so much to serve him, and they became, I don't remember the whole story, but they became the same monkeys, but they had closer relationship with Krishna, because they were his very dear and close friends. So he was like feeding them, not his boyfriend, but the monkeys. And he was feeding them with his own hand. And he became also all he was like in butter, and butter was everywhere, yogurt was everywhere, and also like broken pot was everywhere, pieces of broken pot. And Mother Yashoda came, she saw all these things, and Krishna was always a very naughty boy, and she liked that, yeah. But for the purpose of teaching him the lesson, yeah, because when he was becoming too naughty, like children, they have to be educated nicely, yes. Yeah? So, Mother Yashoda is the perfect mother. So she decided to teach him a lesson. So she took a stick and she started to search for him. And Krishna knew that it's probably going to be punishment, so he ran away, of course. And he was there, so when he saw Mother Yashoda, actually he got scared. He became afraid when he saw the stick. And at that moment, Mother Yashoda, she also became afraid. She became afraid that her child became afraid because she was thinking, maybe it's too much. So she threw away the stick because first she wanted, like, you know, to make him afraid, and he became afraid, and then she became afraid. So she threw away the stick, and then she decided, but still I have to teach him a lesson. It was not for the sake of punishment because she loves him so much, but just to teach him a lesson how a child should behave towards his parents, yeah, and how a nice child should behave. She took a rope and she decided to tie him to a grinding and mortar for some time, just to teach him a lesson. And Krishna's desire was to play with his friends. He didn't want to be tied up to the grinding mortar. And then what happened? Okay, so she caught him. But with that rope, she couldn't tie him up because the rope was always 2 fingers short. Why? Because Krishna's desire was to play. It was his desire. And as we know that Krishna Sankalpa, Krishna always succeeded in fulfilling his desire. So he wanted to play. And at the same time, Krishna is Bhaktivatsala. So we know that there is nothing he wants more than to be controlled by love of his pure devotee. This is what he really wants. He wants it even more than the things he wants himself. So he wanted to play very much. That's why Mother Yashoda couldn't tie him up. But she was very determined. So she because at that time all the girlfriends, they came, it happened in the courtyard. So all they came to see what's going on. That was such fun. And she said, please bring all the ropes from your houses. They did. And they were a little like joking. They said, oh, Yashoda, probably it's not your day today. Don't think you will be able to tie him up. But she decided, I will do it. That was her determination. So she was trying on all the ropes. They were still 2 fingers short. So all the gopis, they were laughing, actually. But Mother Yashoda, she was trying really hard. And there is, like, picture when we sing every day Damodarashtika, how Mother Yashoda, yeah? She, like, her hair were in, how you say?
Disarray.
Yeah, in disarray. Like, her sari also was not... So she was trying very much. Sorry, because I like the story, I forget English. She was trying so hard. And Krishna, he couldn't stand it anymore. Her desire was bigger than his desire to enjoy. So finally, she tied him up. And it was her desire. So she won the battle of love. Yeah, and it is called, so first is Sati Sankalpa and Krishna Shakti. So Krishna has Krishna Shakti, but then when he reveals that Krishna Shakti, then devotee can conquer him by his love, by his desire to serve Krishna. And so in this way, this is wonderful lila, how a pure devotee conquers Krishna's heart and how Krishna loves it so much. So we can meditate on this like every day, not just on Dhan Kartik. And so this lila happened today. okay, somebody wants to say something?
You told that really good. Yeah. You told that really well. That was nice.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.